It's truly a blessing and an honor to be before you once again. And while it's still on my heart and on my mind, I need to correct something. Because I think the last time I shared with you, and it's been bothering me ever since then because it came to my remembrance, I told you to look at Psalm 22, talking about how God will come and see about you. In my thoughts, it should have came out Psalm 18. Because Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. But Psalm 18, if you go and read that, you'll find that it's talking about how God will come and see about his children. But it also goes along with 2 Samuel chapter 22, which was in my mind. And it came out Psalm 22. Amen. So if you just forgive me for that. But I had to correct because it's been on my heart. Amen. You don't want to leave God's children with the wrong impression or the wrong interpretation. Amen. So if you will just indulge me for a moment, we'll go ahead and get started. As the worship was going forward today, and it was some powerful worship, and by nature, I am a worshiper. So I enjoy worship. I enjoy praising my Lord, my Savior, because he's done so much for me. But this is a little simple song. I'm not a singer, but I sing anyway. But it's a song that says, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled. And the whole earth is filled with his glory. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled, and the whole earth is filled with his glory. Father, we come now and we thank you. We come now, God, and we praise you. We come, God, to honor you, to reverence you, to lift up your holy name, God, to magnify you, God. But most of all, God, we come to hear a word from you. We cannot hear a word, O God, unless the preacher shows up. And that preacher is your Holy Spirit. So we pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit will overshadow me, God. Use me, Father, for your will and for your glory. And God, we pray for Pastor Don right now as he's away. And we pray, God, that you'll give him a time of visitation. Give him a time of rest and relaxation, God. But God, we ask that as he's away, God, that you breathe on him. Breathe on his family, oh God. Breathe on his wife. God, use them for your will and for your glory. Let them have a time of refreshing. And God, we ask today that you open our ears and help us to listen. Open our eyes, O God, for we want to see Jesus. And then, Father, we pray that you will open our hearts that we may receive him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you will, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, a minor prophet. It's an Old Testament book. Book of Habakkuk. And when you find the book of Habakkuk, will you start focusing with me at chapter 2? When you get there, can you respond by saying amen? You need a little more time, say hold up. Old Testament, You see Nahum, you're just about there. Very next book. If you see Malachi, you went too far. Amen? Chapter 2, and our text will be coming from chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but us shall live by his faith. And I want to talk to you this morning from the subject of the vision. The vision. I'm pretty sure most of us, if we've lived long enough, if we are adults, that we have seen some hard things in life. Amen. We've seen some rough situations in life. Amen. We've seen some wickedness in this life that we live in. And many of you probably are just like this prophet Habakkuk. You've asked the question, why is there wickedness in the world? Why are we seeming to have hard times when I'm trying to live right, when I'm trying to do the right thing? And I would dare say you may not get an answer to that question. But if you just look around you and you realize that sometimes the reason that we're going through some of the things that we're going through and that we're seeing some of the things that we're seeing is because of sin. That is the number one problem in the world today, sin. It's not some of the things that we blame it on, but it's sin. And then there's sometimes when we just go through some things. We don't know why. You start checking yourself and see if I have sinned. And when you do that inventory and you come out clean and you say, but why am I going through what I'm going through? There are sometimes when we just go through some things. I can't explain it to you. Only God knows why we go through what we go through sometimes. And I believe sometimes it's God using it for his will and for his purpose. Because his saints, his people, his children, when we go through things, it's how you go through that matters. Amen? If you call yourself a child of God and you're declaring to everybody at your job that I love the Lord, I love the Lord, but then trouble comes your way and you act like you done lost your mind and you act like you don't even believe in God, what does that say to them? But when trouble comes your way and you're a child of God and they see you handle that in a sincere, faithful way, they see you handle it trusting in God the entire time. They see you believing in God and telling them, I know what it looks like, but God is going to make a way. I know it may look bad for me, but God's got my back. When they see you respond that way, and when it's all said and done and God delivers you and God brings you on the other side of through and they see their mighty testimony that you have been to the Lord, and it's a testimony to them that the God you serve can be trusted. The God that you serve is faithful. So when you're going through tough times, it's all right to ask why. But just remember, it may be that God has you there for a reason. Sometimes we ask why we're going through things, but you should ask, why not me? If I'm a child of his, I can represent him. If I'm a child of his, I can go through this storm and come out on the other side showing those that are lost how to deal with things the godly way and not the worldly way. And that's what we have here, this prophet Habakkuk. If you go back from verses 1 and begin to read in chapter 1 and you read the book all the way through, and guess what? It's only 3 chapters. You can finish it in one sitting. Amen? Amen? We like to read the word, don't we? We love to read the word, don't we? It's only 3 chapters. But in those 3 chapters, it can be broken down to there's a cry, there's a vision, and then there's a prayer or response. But when you began to look at the story of Habakkuk, he's seeing a whole lot of wickedness go on around him. He's experiencing troubles. And it says in chapter 1 that God has given Habakkuk a burden. And he begins to see what's going on in the nation of Judah. And he says that, I'm crying out to you, God, violence, violence, but you won't come and save. He's questioning God. God, why is it that I see all of this wickedness going on? And it seems and appears that if you're doing nothing about it, the wicked are oppressing your people. The rich are oppressing the poor. And it seems to go unchecked. Even the court system, if it's taken to court, there is no justice. What's going on, God? Why are we allowed to see this? Because I know that your holy eyes cannot look upon sin. So God, can you just tell me, why are you allowing this to happen? And God responds to Habakkuk by saying, I'm going to do something that you wouldn't even believe. Even if I told you what I was going to do, you wouldn't believe it. And he said, I'm going to raise up one wicked nation to judge another wicked nation. The wicked nation that he was raising up is the Babylonian nation, or the Chaldeans. The nation that he was going to judge was his very own nation, Judah. The reason that I'm going to raise up this wicked nation of the Babylonians is to judge my people, because you have been sinning against me. You have been doing the wrong things. You've been not worshiping me. You've been walking in your own ways and not the ways that I have commanded. So he's saying now judgment is coming your way. And I'm here to tell you today, I know that we love to hear prosperity. I know we love to hear that things are good. I know that we like to hear that life is going to be grand for us. But guess what? When you get saved, it's not going to all be bed and roses. Amen? There are going to be some hard times. And how you deal with those hard times determines who your faith is in. Amen? Because if your faith is in yourself, you're going to fall every time. But Habakkuk is trying to get the people. He was having a communication with God. And the thing that I like about this particular minor prophet is the rest of the prophets seem to have a message that's been given from God, and then they deliver the message to the people. But when you look at Habakkuk, it's really a dialogue between God and Habakkuk about the people. God, you see what's going on. You know what the wickedness is down here. What are you going to do about it? And God said, I'm going to send a wicked nation to judge another wicked nation. I'm going to send the Babylonians to judge Judah. But when I'm through with Babylon, I'm going to then destroy them. I'm going to judge them. So God is not without judgment on his people, and he's not without judgment on the wicked. The day is coming. And in case you don't know, there's a present judgment, which you'll be judged for your sins now. And then there's a future judgment, when you're going to be judged once and for all. And I encourage you, the way to avoid that future judgment is through salvation. Amen. That's through accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and living a life of holiness and righteousness. Will I be perfect? No. Will I make mistakes? Yes. But I still, when I fall, I get back up. When I make mistakes, I repent. That's how you live a life of holiness, because you're always trying to be right before God. And the only way that you can be right before God is to allow his Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you to lead you, to guide you. But if you find yourself in sin, repent quickly. Do not think you can wallow in sin. And I know sometimes folk can sin and get away with it. So they think. And they just keep on sinning and keep on sinning. You might know some folk like that. And they just keep on sinning. And they get to the point where they think, well, I've been sinning all this time and nothing's happened. But I will tell you, judgment is coming. Sometimes God's judgment is swift. Sometimes it's delayed. But you can bet one thing, it's coming. And here Habakkuk is trying to get God to come and do something about this wickedness down here. But then God begins to reveal a vision to Habakkuk. And he begins to tell him some things. But then when you get to chapter 3, you find that Habakkuk's mindset has changed. He's now beginning to understand what God is talking about. But he begins to pray. And it's a form of what they call a doxology or prayer of praise. When Habakkuk begins to realize and understand all that God is. And that's what we need to do sometimes. When we find ourselves in hard situations, begin to give God some glory. Begin to give God some praise. Begin to realize that he's the one who holds your destiny in his hands. It's not your friends. It's not even your mothers or your fathers. It's God that holds the destiny in his hands. So we can look at this second chapter. I want to show you three things. But first of all, we got to understand something. When we talk about vision, and I know we sang that song, write the vision, make it plain, right? It shall speak. And then the part of that song goes on talking about you might have a vision for a job. You might have a vision for this, a vision for that. Amen. But really, there's only one vision. That's God's vision. And that's the only vision that matters. There's nothing wrong with having a vision. And in Proverbs 29 and 18, it says that where there is no vision, my people perish. So the vision that we're talking about today is the vision of God. And guess what? All of the other visions line up with the vision. As a body of Christ, as a church, the vision that's on this church should line up with the vision. You can't have your own vision and think you're going to get it done. You got to have the vision. And what God does is he lays a vision upon the leadership of whatever particular church you're in. And that leadership begins to share the vision with the people. And then it's up to the people to carry out the vision that has been laid out. But the thing about it is, that vision goes to fulfill the vision. Amen? You know, you got some folk that have their own vision and they'll try to do things their own way. They'll say, my vision is to get money. My vision is to open up a business. But what are you going to open up that business for? What's the purpose of opening that business? What are you going to do with the money that you make from that business? Is it going to go to support the kingdom? Amen. You know, folk open up businesses, and there's a story about a man that had a business and he asked God to bless his business. And while he was making $1,000 a month, he was tithing. But his business began to grow and flourish to the point that his tithe became $10,000. But he found it kind of difficult to pay the $10,000. So God said, I'll tell you what. I'll move you back to a place where you can pay the tithe. How about that? No, we don't want that. Be faithful in all that God has given you. Honor him with everything that you are. Honor him with your time, your money, your resources, your breath. Honor him with everything. And then when you honor him, make sure that you are trying to fulfill the vision. God has given a vision out at the beginning. And he wants all of mankind to be reconciled back to him. And the only way that mankind can be reconciled back to God is if we share the vision of God. This word vision that we use in the Bible when it talks about the vision, it's really talking about the revelation that was given. And Habakkuk was given a revelation in chapter 2. And in verse 1 of chapter 2 it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The first thing we've got to understand is you got to stand on your watch. Amen. How many of you know all of us are ministers? By a show of hands, how many of you know that all of us are ministers? Amen. It doesn't mean that we've all been called to the pulpit or the preaching ministry. It doesn't mean that we've all been called to the singing ministry or whatever. It doesn't mean we've all been called to the dance ministry. But we've all been called to minister. Amen. You are all walking ministers. And guess what? By you being a walking minister, it's your job to what? Minister. Amen. And that minister, the word ministry means to what? Serve. You serve the people that you come into contact with on a day-to-day basis. How? By looking at their life and seeing what needs they may have. And then you meet those needs if you possibly can. But then you also know that everyone has a need to what? Be saved. So part of your ministry also includes what? Sharing the good news. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you share the good news and when you share the gospel, it has a way of penetrating that heart of theirs, going into their lives and having them come to the point where they realize that they are lost in their sins. And then they're going to ask you, what must I do to be saved? How do I make it right before God? And you say, by faith in Christ. Faith that he's died on the cross for your sins. Faith that he was buried and faith that he rose again. If you can believe that in your heart, you can be saved. You minister to people on a day-to-day basis. But before you begin to go out and try to minister to people, you have to be like a bucket. You got to stand, watch on the wall. We have a saying in men's Bible study that we're doing a great work in the book of Nehemiah. We're doing a great work and we can't come down. It's not an option. You know, some folk will try to get you to come down. It's like they try to get Nehemiah, come down off the wall. We want to talk to you. They only wanted to kill him. And when folk try to get you to come down off of what you are in God, they only want to destroy you. Anybody that's not building you up in God or not trying to get you to move forward in God is doing you no good. You need to be associated with people that are helping you to move forward in Christ. Amen. And so just like Nehemiah, you can't come down. Why? Because you're doing a great work. And the reason that you're doing a great work is because you're working for God. And because you're doing a great work, it's not an option. I can't come down. And so as Habakkuk stood on that wall, he began to watch. But he was watching for an answer from God. You know how sometimes we pray about stuff? And we pray about stuff. And then when we don't get the answer, what do? We start coming up with our own plans. Thoughts. Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't see how this bill is going to get paid. I don't see, Lord, you ain't moving fast enough. And the next thing you know, you down at the little check place trying to write you a check till payday come. Amen. Then the next thing you know, you in the hole because you wrote that check you didn't have the money for in the first place. Now you got to pay them extra money. Amen. You tried to make a way. But you got to be like Habakkuk. Stand on the wall and wait for God to answer you. Stand on the wall and wait for God to show you what to do. That's where we mess up sometimes. When we go and try to deal with people and try to intervene in people's lives and situations when we haven't waited on God to show us what to do. You moving in your own spirit, your own flesh, and not in the power of God. And I tell anybody, when you get ready to minister to anybody, you make sure you're standing in the power of God. You make sure when you leave the house on a day-to-day basis that you ask God to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the indwelling is already there. But the power, empowerment, you have to ask for that every day. Every day. You cannot operate on yesterday's anointing. Amen. Remember that. You can't operate on yesterday's anointing. God may have used you greatly this Sunday. And Monday, you're still trying to walk in what he did on Sunday. But you're going to wind up walking in the flesh because you have not asked him to empower you all over again. You need fresh anointing every day. You need to be a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit every day so that you can walk in his power every day, so that you can minister in his power every day and not be ministering in your flesh. Amen. That's why, you know, some folk at you ever been on a job and maybe you're the person on the job that everybody wants to come to. I know if I can get a good answer, I can go to so-and-so over here. I know that they may not say what I want to hear, but it's going to be good, sound advice. You ought to be that person. That folk may not live righteously. They may be sinners, but they know who you are. They know that you're a child of God. And because they know who you are and they know that you're a child of God, they may not even want to come to you. But something just draws them to you. And you began to share wisdom in their lives when you began to answer their questions or their concerns that they may have. And eventually they're going to come to you and ask you, how is it that you always seem to know what to say? You just seem to have the right things to say. And you know within yourself, it's only because I've been standing on the wall. I've been watching and I've been listening to what God has to say to me. And what God has revealed to me, I'm sharing it with you. They may not understand that, but you understand that you've been standing watch on the wall. And part of the vision that God has is that we all have to stand watch and wait for him to speak to us. Don't let the devil speak to you. And I tell people all the time, you have to guard every thought. The Bible said you have to take every thought captive, because every thought that comes to your head is not from God. Amen. I'm sure we know that by now, don't we? Because we followed that other voice, haven't we? And it's got us in some trouble, hasn't it? And it was hard to get out of that trouble, hasn't it? I preached a message last week. You know, restoration is good, but you ought to avoid it. Amen. Because it's a long, hard road back. I mean, if you look at it, I turned the TV on when I was on vacation the other week, and I saw Jim Baker on TV again. And I was like, wow. He had a long, hard road back. But God can restore you when you mess up. But I would avoid it, because I don't, that's not a pretty road to take sometimes. But when you stand watch on that wall and you see what's going on, you can get a burden like a baka. You ever had God just give you a burden? You don't know why, but you just feel such a burden about certain things. There's certain things that you're just passionate about. Some people may have a burden for children. They just don't want to see children be done wrong or abused. They just have a burden like that. And some folk have a burden for folk wanting to get saved. They just can't see folk walking around in the world lost. God gives us those burdens for a reason. He wants us to cry out to him. And when we cry out to him, he gives us an answer. And when we stand watch on the wall and wait for that answer to come from him, then we know how to go out and minister. Habakkuk did not move until God spoke to him. Habakkuk did not move until God spoke to him. And when God began to speak to Habakkuk, he told him in verse 2, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that it may run, that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." After you stood on the wall and you waited to hear what God has to say, he said, write the vision, make it plain. Write the vision, make it plain. In other words, write the revelation that I have given you and make it plain. Share the revelation that I've given you and make it plain. You know how sometimes, and I'm not one of them complicated preachers, you know, at least I don't think I am. Some preachers can get so deep, theological and philosophical, that they lost you somewhere along the way. And it's hard to get back on the bus. You ever miss the bus and you running beside the bus trying to get on the bus, and it seems like the faster you run, the faster the bus go? Some preachers can be like that. They got you running beside the bus trying to get back on, and they just leave you. But God said, make it plain so that people can understand it. There is no plainer or more simple message than the gospel. You believe in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. It's as plain as that. It's not all difficult. You don't have to jump through 5 hoops, run 8 miles, come back, learn about 25 verses of scripture, then go have somebody pray for you. You don't have to do all that. People make it complex. It's not that complex. You believe in Christ, you can be saved. Write the vision, make it plain, so that them that read it can run with it. How does God expect you to take his message and run with it? Preach it, share it with others if it's too complicated for you to get. Make it plain. When you make the message plain, people can get it. Amen. I don't care if we got doctorate degrees or whatever, you ought to preach to the person that's down here. You may have some children in there that can't understand all of the, you know, the language, and I don't know many big words, so I don't use many big words, but folk down here, what about them? If the message is plain enough for them to get it, It ought to be plain enough for the person with the doctorate degree to get it. Amen. Write the vision. Make it plain. And the vision that God gave Habakkuk was judgment is coming. Not only will I judge this wicked nation that I'm using against Judah, but I will also judge that nation. And again, I say, you know, sometimes folk use that scripture to talk about your vision. Unless your vision lines up with the vision, you don't have a vision. Amen. So when it says the vision, make it plain, write the vision, make it plain, so them that readeth it can run with it. It shall not lie. We know by now that what God says shall come to pass. There is nothing that God speaks out of his mouth that will not come to pass. I don't care what God says. If he said it, it's going to happen. It may take some time, but it's going to happen. And the thing that we keep getting caught up in is that thing called time, time, time. We go in days, minutes, hours, seconds, and we get in time. Some of you are probably itching now saying, I wish he was going to hear them push on through that, hurry up. But we get caught up in time, time, time. God does not operate in time. He operates outside of time. Amen. You ever wonder, how can God be in all places at all times? How can he be handling this over here and that over there? How can he know about this and know about that? When it says that he knew the beginning, or he knew the end from the beginning. Because he operates outside of time. Where you're trying to get to, God is already there. Where have you have not yet been, God has already been. He can be wherever he needs to be at any moment. I'm so glad I got a God that's that powerful. He's able to be in all places at all times. He's able to hear all of us praying at one time. Now that's an awesome gift. And I'm glad I don't have it. He can hear all people at one time. No matter who you are or where you are, you're praying to God. He can hear us all and knows the difference between who's praying to who and what they want. Isn't that an awesome God? You might be praying. She may be praying. And the rest of them in the back are praying. But God hears every one of you individually. And he can distinguish your voice from all of his other children. And he knows exactly what you're talking about. He knows exactly what you need. And that's why sometimes God is just waiting on you to get where you need to be. I've already put what you need where you're going to get it. But you have to keep pushing till you get there. You ever know why things just come right on time? You're looking for stuff to happen and you're like, I don't know, it's getting close. It's got to be paid by one. It's 12:45. Boom, there it is. God, you're cutting it close. But he says, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Because I know as God does things for us, if he did things swiftly for us most of the time, we take it for granted. If he delivered us quickly from some situations, we take it for granted. God, I'm in trouble. You want to be snatched out right away. But you learn more when you go through some things sometimes. You learn more when you go through things. I don't know any of us that have had easy times. We just keep going through stuff. You know, we had easy times in life and, oh, it's a breeze. You don't learn a whole lot. You know why?